Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. We have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners and management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us Twyla Braze, and she, of course, has been studying and writing extensively about the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, or MEPA, as it's oftenly referred to, the Model Emergency State Health Powers Act, that is being actually enacted all across America. And, of course, as you look at this act, a lot of this doesn't have anything to do with health at all. It has to do with a massive power grab, confiscation of your home, your property, your car, your fuel, your medicines, alcohol, and, of course, anything else they want to take, because, of course, the stipulations in so much of this legislation, it will include these, but not limited to these things I've just mentioned. Twyla, how did you happen to get interested in this legislation?
Well, Dr. Montes, I guess we looked at it and saw a number of the facets that were concerning to us, particularly having to do with government powers, I guess, over the rights of citizens, having to do with their health care. And so we thought it best to try to get the public to understand what the federal proposal was, and the fact that that proposal was being introduced in probably every state legislature, or at least two legislators within their states. Whether or not it would actually become legislation was up to the state. But we wanted to let the public know that this was coming their direction.
No, I think that what's so important for people to know is this was planned long before September 11th, almost as if they anticipated something was going to happen so that they could justify implementing this, as well as, of course, the Office of Homeland Security was, first planning was made for that back in 1998 by the National National Commission on Security in the 21st Century. But now, of course, this this whole idea of these Health Powers Act, because they circumvent the Constitution, we, of course, introduce these at the state where there are no restrictions on the power of what can be done to the individual. So what will happen under the provisions of this legislation as it's being enacted across America?
Well, every state has different legislation. Minnesota has more limited powers as a result of three citizen groups who are very active on it here in the state, whereas Maryland has much more power within their legislation. So it's really dependent on the state. What I can say is that pieces of the legislation that are in most proposals have to do with things like quarantine and isolation, and allowing health officials to quarantine and isolate individuals without due process. In other words, without a court order, they can come into your home or come into a softball game or the grocery store or wherever they think that individuals or groups are that are perhaps contagious or indeed contagious, and put them into quarantine and isolation and only later get a court order. That's one piece. Another piece has to do with empowering the governor or the governor's designee. And what that section does is give the governor the authority to write rules and issue orders with the full force and effect of law, and allows the legislature only to remove that power 60 days later. Another piece is forced vaccination, examination, testing, treatment, and specimen collection from individuals. Another piece is health surveillance and using health data and state access to health data without patient consent. And then finally, I would say that healthcare rationing is also part of the proposal, in that it would allow healthcare professionals, and here in Minnesota it actually said specifically until it was deleted, that the state could tell healthcare professionals not to follow typical medical standards and medical practice, and to deny healthcare resources to certain individuals. So what some of the legislation does is it allows healthcare rationing, or prescribes healthcare rationing, and allows the state to make the decisions and to commandeer healthcare facilities and the services of healthcare professionals.
Well, now, what about the forced vaccination? That certainly was in the October 23rd, 2001 draft of the legislation. Has that been enacted in the states where this has actually been passed, this idea of forced vaccination? That's a frightening thing. And especially the articles in the New York Times that point out that the material and the drugs and the vaccines they give you don't have to have any trial or any track record at all. If they say that they think that they may help, they have a perfect right to give them to you. And you are a criminal if you don't take them. Was that enacted in Minneapolis, pardon me, in Minnesota, or in Maryland?
Well, I think it's important for your listeners to understand that I believe there are eight or nine states now that have enacted some version of what the federal government was suggesting through their model or their draft legislation.
And of course, this was really, the whole draft legislation was drawn up with your tax money under the auspices of the CDC. And initially they wanted to take away your guns, but they got that out of there because that was just too blatant. So, but of course, at least under the specifications in the draft that we saw, they could take away anything they wanted to, and not limited to the things that they listed. In other words, they could take away anything they wanted.
Right.
How did it end up in your state?
Well, in Minnesota, that became a contentious issue, the idea of property and personal property. And at the very 11th hour, when the legislature decided to send the bill back to conference committee, they refused to accept it. And sending it back to conference committee virtually meant that it was going to die for the session. And the idea of gun ownership and other personal property being commandeered by the government and taken by the government is part of what sent it back.
We're going to be back here in just a moment with Trial of Rage. You'll be right now, of course. We're going to have to tell you about a few of the things that are available through our ministry here. And one of them, of course, as you know, is we carry something called Phonicsopoly. And Phonicsopoly is a method of teaching a child how to read phonetically, how to pronounce words phonetically, and how to spell phonetically. And of course, the method of teaching reading in our schools is directly responsible for a failed educational system. And so you can, within 16 to 20 hours, in almost all instances, take children who have been deliberately dumbed down in our educational system and teach them to begin to think phonetically, to read phonetically, to spell phonetically. And of course, it's really made up of 5 board games. There are certainly 2 bonus games, and we throw in a couple of books. If you want to do the best thing you can do for your children, call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and order Phonicsopoly. And then I want to mention we carry Miracle 2 soap products just because we think it's excellent soap, and because we've heard so many glowing stories from our listeners, and it comes in a soap, a moisturizing soap, a lotion, a neutralizer, and a gel. And many people claim that it helps them as far as their rashes are concerned. The only way you're going to know is to give it a try. If you're interested or would like more information, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And of course, if you'd like to purchase a trial set discounted, give us a call and just ask for the trial set of the Miracle 2 soap products, or we'll send you a brochure put out by the manufacturer. We'll send you an audio tape, and you decide for yourself if you'd like to get a set. But again, remember, this is 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, The Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught into a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIB-WAR right now. Well, Dr. Stan, and of course, we also carry a Waco New Revelation, and there you'll hear several people who knew the Special Forces men, the murderers, who were sent in to kill the Davidians, and of course, they talk about that. You'll hear an interview with the FBI agent in charge of the crime scene there, the burning ashes and the burned bodies, who said this is still an open murder investigation. And then, of course, we carry another film on the FLIR film. It was actually the government's effort to cover up what was shown in Rules of Engagement. And you'll see how they distorted the evidence and, of course, intentionally to conceal the complicity of government agents in the murder of those tragic people at Waco. And it was not simply by accident that the date that they chose for the attack on the compound was April 19th, 1993. And, of course, it was on April 19th, 1775, that the Redcoats marched on Lexington and, of course, were met at the bridge at Concord with a shot that was heard around the world. It was very important, of course, to put down anybody who believed in individual freedom from the tyranny of government, and not only in 1775, but in 1993 as well. Well, let's get back to the topic. Our guest today is Twyla Braes, and we're talking about the Model Emergency Health Powers legislation introduced into all of our state legislatures. And so actually it would appear that there in Minnesota, you did a pretty good job of limiting what they did and what they got.
Right. Well, we got some interesting amendments attached, including the right to refuse to have to submit to vaccinations, examinations, et cetera. The only problem is that when we tried to attach language that said that individuals had to be told they had the right to refuse, that was not found to be acceptable. So that didn't actually get into the legislation.
And so they don't want people to know that they don't have to accept these untried vaccines. And this is what we're talking about. I mean, never before in the history of America has the government said, well, we have these vaccines, we don't know whether they're going to work or not, but we're going to give them to the people. And we don't know what the long-term effect is, but we're going to be able to give them to the people. And the FDA has gone along with that. Have you read any of those reports, Twyla?
About the FDA?
Yes, uh-huh.
Well, actually, I read a very good report from the National Vaccine Information Center, which talked all about the history of smallpox vaccine. And for any of your listeners who are interested, I would suggest that you go to their website and take a look at that article. It's particularly good and referenced citations all throughout it that have to do with federal and other organizational documents.
And of course, that's Barbara Lowe Fisher, and that's the National Vaccine Information Center. We have a wonderful interview with Barbara Lowe Fisher, if any of our listeners would like to get that, where she goes into exactly what's in that smallpox report. But you can actually call them. I believe it's 1-800-909-SHOT. That's 1-800-909-SHOT. And, of course, get more information or learn their website. I don't know their website. Do you know it offhand, Twyla?
No, I'm sorry, I don't. But you can go to google.com and search, and you can find it very easily.
All right, fine. So
the other amendment that we got in was regarding medical supplies. Our particular bill says that the government can commandeer medical supplies, and we thought that was a surefire way to endorse rationing or to encourage rationing. And so we did get an amendment in that said that medical supplies weren't those supplies that were considered essential by healthcare professionals, and they also weren't supplies that individual citizens held in their homes and in their residences.
But of course, if you had got those restrictions in, they would have been able to take anything they wanted, wouldn't they?
Right. They still can commandeer healthcare facilities, but they can't just call up a hospital and tell them you have to send all your vaccine or you have to send all your surgical instruments or, you know, whatever, because of that provision. However, you know, they can always try that, and they can say that they have to, and if nobody has read the law or knows any differently, that can still happen. But at least we put a little bit of a protection in there.
Well, no, in the original draft, they could take your property, they could take your car, they could take literally anything you had. Were you able to block that in Minnesota?
We partially blocked that. They can still take any kind of facility or real property, real estate, except for private residences. And they're limited to only public health emergencies. Our bill would have given them the right to do that during any peacetime emergency, and peacetime emergencies included civil disturbances and sort of a roster of types of emergencies, and we were able to limit that only to public health emergencies. So,
right.
And even that's very broad.
All right,
it's
fine.
At least more restrictive.
And of course, what they really want was that it didn't have to be a bioterrorist attack at all. They could do it whenever the governor declared a public health emergency, having nothing to do with bioterrorism. And incidentally, somebody just called in and said that the website for the National Vaccine Information Center is 909shot.com. That's 909shot.com, and their telephone number is 1-800-909-SHOT. So that's easy to remember. Well, now, of course, do we have any idea what's happening in the other states? Because they're pushing this through so rapidly, this long-term planning for this emergency that now has developed. What's happened in other states?
Well, I can let you know a little bit about that, but I do I did want to clarify that even here in Minnesota, it's not limited to a bioterrorism attack. A public health emergency also includes the emergence or appearance of new or novel bacteria or infectious agents. So it does make it broader than bioterrorism, which was their intent in the very first place. In other states, the best source to look for that, I'll give you the source, so if anyone wants to look it up, it's a very good resource, is ALEC.com, A-L-E-C.com, and they have, since the very beginning, kept track of what's happening in every state. You can't necessarily know what is being actually passed. They don't keep track, but they let you know whether or not something has passed in the state or is in a process of consideration. And so when you look on that, right on the homepage, they have a map. And I believe there's 9 states that have had some version passed. There's about maybe 9 states that haven't considered anything. And maybe 7 that have actually defeated the legislation or just let it die. And then there's 2 states that have set up study committees.
Now, one of them is California, isn't it?
No, I don't believe so. It's North Carolina and I can't remember what the other one is.
Well, we established a commission. Was that what they did in California, something of the sort?
Well, you know, I'll just have to look. I'm sorry, I didn't actually pull that website up, and I can pull that up when we're in the Q&A time and have a better idea of that. But as far as I recall, California wasn't one. You may have established a commission at the same time that you passed the legislation, but I actually didn't think that California had passed the legislation yet.
Well, I think it's the last thing I heard that it had been gone through one of the committees. They'd modified it to create a commission. But what our listeners must understand is this is long-term planning. Long before September 11th, this was all planned, all scripted ahead of time. And, of course, this was financed, it was written, it was ready to go. And then comes September 11th. What does that suggest to you? And why would they want this draconian control? Why do you think that they want this draconian control? Certainly, there's no question that if we were to have a major epidemic, public health officers should have the ability to move and do what's right. But they already have most of that power, don't they?
It's, again, dependent on the state, but like here in Minnesota, they had to get a court order before they could take someone that had a known communicable disease and detain them. And they, by law, they had the authority to quarantine and isolate, but only according to rules, and they had never bothered to make the rules. And so they really didn't have the power to do it. So every state will have different different law, and we had heard that our state had perhaps already more emergency management law than a lot of other states around the nation. So we always look at legislation and say, if they are creating legislation, they at least don't believe they have the power or authority to do it. Otherwise, we wouldn't be seeing it in legislation. So I think just by virtue of that fact, your listeners can consider that if the legislation is passing, that means that it was that authority wasn't available before.
All right, fine. And of course, this was passed right along with the cooperation of the National Association of Governors, and a number of organizations were involved in the long-term planning for this massive extension of power and control over the lives of the people in the name of course, of addressing a public health emergency, but planned long, long, long before September 11th. We can only ask what they knew ahead of time. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Twyla, and we'll welcome your calls. We've got a couple of minutes here. If you want to look those things up, Twyla. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I want to mention, if you're out there in the listening audience and you really want to understand how everything fits together, you need to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. It will take you into the forces that work behind the scenes, controlling both of our political parties, and the spiritual forces which energize what is really taking place. Now, you can get the book by itself for $12.95 plus shipping and tax, or you can get the special, which includes the book, a video, and an audio tape for $29.95, and it's really a pretty good deal. And then, of course, our video, The War in Arabia, will go into the background of what was known before the September 11th attack. And then, of course, how the advent of our war on terrorism parallels the advent of all of the other wars of the 20th century and immediately before. And so we suggest you get our video, The War in Arabia. Both of those are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we're trying to get our programs, a new program, syndicated. It'll be a Saturday program. It'll be heard on 5 stations in the Northwest starting hopefully in another 3 or 4 weeks if we can raise the funds. And then we hope to get this syndicated across the nation, and we've had an offer of help by the people from the American Christian Network who agree with our concerns about what's going on in America today. So if you'd like to help us in that effort, if you can make any sort of a donation on a monthly basis for the next 6 months, so we'll know have the money available, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's if you'd like to help us syndicate our program across America. Well, we have a brand new video today on the Oklahoma City bombing. It's called Oklahoma, What Really Happened. And of course, it consists of a lot of never-before-seen video footage. Now, it was seen in Oklahoma City immediately following the bombing of the Murrah Building, but blacked out across America. And in this footage, you're going to see the commentators talking about the other bombs that were in the building at the time of the initial bombing. We're told, of course, that Timothy McVeigh acted independently. We're told many things by the media, but wherein does the truth lie? Oklahoma City, what really happened, it will give you the opportunity to see long suppressed video footage of what really transpired. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Oklahoma City, what really happened. Yeah. Well, Dr. Stan, and the name of that video we were just talking about was actually a cover-up in Oklahoma. That's cover-up in Oklahoma. And, of course, our guest right now is Twyla Braze, and we're talking about the Model Emergency Health Powers Act. And that is incidentally covered in my latest newsletter. And if you don't subscribe to the newsletter, you should, but we'll be glad to send you a free copy of the newsletter. If you've never gotten one before, or you can go up and look at it on my internet site at radioliberty.com. But you need to understand what this is all about and the implications, and then you need to ask yourself, what are they really preparing for? Not what they're talking about, but what did they know before the September 11th attack? Why did they have this draconian legislation drawn up, and how will it be used? Because there really are those who do not believe that the American people should be free. Well, Twyla, how can people get in touch with you? You have some sort of an organization or work with an organization, don't you?
Right. I'm president of Citizens Council on Healthcare.
Okay.
And they can give us a call at 651-646-8935.
Would you say that again?
651-646-8935. Or they can look us up on the web, and that is at www.cchconline.org.
That's www.cchconline.org, and that's for the Citizens Council on Healthcare.
Right.
Okay, fine. Well, if you have a question or comment, we would welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. So it's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Because this is really such important legislation, it's not being well covered in the newspapers. And the reason it isn't being covered in the newspapers is they don't want you to know what goes on in Sacramento, and they certainly don't want you bringing pressure to bear against your legislators. Now, this is going on all across America. So wherever you are across America listening to this program on the Internet, on shortwave, you need to go to ALEC. That is ALEC.com. Is that
.org?
And that has to do with an association that has to do with local governments, and they're very concerned about the implications of this legislation and the massive power grab. But remember, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts, and those with power always want more, and this is what this is all about. Now, you said that there are several states that have actually not passed the legislation at all.
Right. I can actually sort of go over the numbers with you now.
Okay, fine.
There are 10 that have passed the legislation, 11 that have defeated it, 10 that have legislation pending in the legislature, 3 that are considering introducing it, 11 that haven't done anything, and 3 that have, through legislation, put a committee into place. And California is one that has introduced legislation.
Okay. Well, let's go to Roger, and I bet that's Roger calling from Allentown, Pennsylvania. Hi, Roger. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, folks. And the reason I called, I've been all over this bill, and I think a lot of people don't realize that your state senators and reps are often, even the poor ones, are often far more responsive than the federal legislators. And now, if Alex Jones is right, there's some 20 of the 36 some states that have had this horrible, deadly, dangerous bill introduced that have passed it. I don't know if that's accurate. He sometimes gets a little hyperbolic, but that may be entirely correct.
I think that actually Twyla just covered that. She's got the information down from the ALEC website.
Yeah, and my point was, in other words, for your individual listener listening just now, they may be getting their just desserts in that their single influence may make all the difference with this or that senator or representative in knocking down this bill. My father told me the story about this one legislator wanted to oppose gambling in the state, and she said she prayed that she'd get just one constituent that would call her to oppose this bill, and that since she didn't, she only had the other interests, and so she voted against her conscience. Now, that may be a little...
Okay, well, now is there anything you'd like to say specifically about the legislation? Because I agree with you that it's draconian. Everybody should be concerned, and we should all be calling our elected representatives and letting them know that we are going to remember how they vote on this.
Yes.
Because there is another agenda behind what's going on.
I just wanted to add another thing on a medical concern, and that was with the vaccinations. You got the very same people that are pushing, and I think we're going to see a real big push for this bill in particular because of what is, I think, going to be a contrived smallpox incident now with what happened in Pakistan. So I think there's going to be a real big, fast push for this bill, so your listeners have to get out now on this. And like, I've been on the local talk radio. You almost always have a nominally conservative host on these shows as well. And on the vaccines, the people are pushing this or saying this is likely, in fact, to be a transgenic strain of smallpox. That is an altered, deliberately altered strain. And yet these same people, we know that a vaccine is often only good for a particular strain. And so the protection would not even necessarily transfer to the altered form.
Amen to that. Okay, anything else?
God bless you all.
And you too. Bye-bye. Thanks for calling. And our telephone number is 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Twyla, are you concerned about forced vaccination?
Well, yes, because it's a freedom of conscience issue in that... When you force vaccination, you force the public to place what is a known dangerous substance into their bodies, which has severe and serious adverse reactions. We just don't know exactly who's going to have the reactions. And so what we have done even recently is we provided public comments to the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, who has now... is now going to be making recommendations to the CDC on what to do about smallpox and about quarantine, smallpox vaccination and quarantine for smallpox. And actually tomorrow is the day when the public comments have to be in, and they're going to make the recommendations on the 20th. And so what we have done is that we have suggested that smallpox vaccine be made available to the public now, rather than waiting for a panic situation, and that the public be apprised of all the risks and all the benefits and be informed as to whether or not this is an experimental vaccine or not, and that the public be given the opportunity to make an informed decision prior to any kind of event, because it certainly is possible that we could see smallpox being introduced into the country in a bioterrorism attack. That's not, you know, necessarily unlikely.
Well, it is, unless they've been lying to us all these years, because they've said there is no smallpox, and the only two places it ever was in the CDC and the Russians. Now, if they thought for one minute that Saddam Hussein had smallpox, then why did they prevent people from getting vaccinated all these years, going back to the 1970s? So somebody's been lying to us, saying that there is no smallpox in the world, and now they say, oops, yes, there is smallpox. Certainly, Saddam Hussein not only has it, he's probably genetically modified it. And let me tell you, there's no way he has the facilities to do that. And there's serious question whether the Russians even ever did that, because although they claim they have consistently refused to allow the Americans to see what they've actually done. So there's a wonderful book out. It's called Germs, written by Judith Miller and several other people from the New York Times. Must reading for anybody who wants to know what's going on and the absurdity of most of the things. They're giving an anthrax vaccine for pulmonary anthrax. And the only studies we have are monkeys, where they took 30 monkeys, and with 10 monkeys, they gave them the vaccine alone. 10 monkeys, they gave antibiotics alone. 10 monkeys, they gave antibiotics and vaccine. And every monkey that had the vaccine and was exposed to pulmonary anthrax, every one of them died. And yet they're giving this compulsory, to the military. What's wrong with this story?
Well, the important thing is that no vaccination be compulsory.
Amen to that. And yet the FDA told the military they had to give informed consent, written informed consent. The military said, we won't give them verbal informed consent. The FDA said, well, that's all right. And then, of course, they didn't give them any informed consent.
Well, the interesting thing about the proposal that the advisory committee wants to give to the CDC, when you read the proposal, what it says is there's three types of facilities that individuals can be placed into. One is their home when they think you've been exposed but you've refused to be vaccinated. Another one is for those who have confirmed chickenpox or probable or suspected chickenpox. I'm sorry, smallpox.
Smallpox, right.
And then there's one where there's another type, which is called a type X facility, and it's for individuals who have some sort of illness, but they're already vaccinated. But they allow those particular individuals as well to be placed in with the confirmed diagnoses of smallpox. And everyone who gets into those facilities, except for your home, has to be vaccinated. And so the interesting thing about this proposal is that it requires that if you're going to voluntarily be vaccinated for smallpox after there's been a case of smallpox, it's required that you read, understand, and sign a consent. However, those words are not any part of the proposal for those individuals who will be placed in these facilities. So what we said in our public comments is it appears that those individuals have no right of consent, no right to read, to understand, or to sign any consent prior to being vaccinated, and that indeed that is compulsory vaccination with what could be a dangerous vaccine for them.
Well, when we know, for instance, they used vaccines to sterilize women in Kenya and in the Philippines, women who thought they were getting just a free tetanus vaccine, but they didn't understand that there is nothing free in this world. And when we know that people who took the Gulf War shots during the Gulf War, many, many of these are sick, and proportion way out of the number we would expect have died. And, of course, the government is not telling the truth. And they say, well, we've just lost all the shot records. We can't tell who took what shots. Does anybody really believe that? If you do, you probably bought both Enron and Tyco stock. Well, we're going to be back here in just a couple of minutes, and we'll welcome your calls at 464-8295 or at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. This is so vitally important, and if you don't have a copy of my newsletter, we'll be glad to send you one free of charge if you haven't had one before, but this is the time when we have to mention that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. We hope that many of you will decide right now that you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. This is how we're able to do what we do 5 hours every day and reach out on 30 stations. And then, of course, we have our shortwave and our internet and our satellite and our other means of reaching people across America. And it's an expensive proposition. We have to pay for radio time. But, of course, if we don't reach people that way, how will we reach them? They're certainly not going to get the truth from Barbara Walters or Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw, who are paid six-figure salaries, not to reveal what's going on, but to conceal what's going on. And the media controls your reality, as do most of the major newspapers. And any of you who doubt that we have control really need to get a copy of Jim Keith's book, Mass Control, written shortly before his untimely and unexpected death. And that's Mass Control, available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Just goes into how they control your mind. And then, of course, we ask you to give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And for a suggested gift of $20 a month or as much as you can afford, you'll get our four best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do. And then if you'd like to make a pledge to help us so that we can actually get our new Saturday program syndicated across America and get other stations to pull it down, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because we are at war. America, our future, our families, our freedom are under attack today. Again, the number 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Now, most people would laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes, and how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today. Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our guest is Twyla Braze. Of course, she is with the Citizens Council on Healthcare. And if you'd like to get in touch with Twyla, her telephone number is 651-646-8935. That's 651-646-8935. And their website is www.cchconline.org. And a group of people are very, very concerned about this massive power grab. And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't think this is going to affect you and your family, you're sadly, sadly mistaken. And when the government coming up with all these new vaccines, and they have no long-term track record, they're developing a new vaccine for smallpox. And, of course, they've told us for years there wasn't any smallpox, and now they're saying, oh, terrible danger from smallpox. And, of course, we've got to vaccinate everybody. We've got to vaccinate them for anthrax. Why vaccinate them for anthrax? You know, unless you're going to have pulmonary anthrax, there's very, very little danger, of getting this from person to person. And, of course, if you're going to give it for pulmonary anthrax, the only studies we have are the primate studies. And all of the monkeys died. Now, admittedly, if you were vaccinated and you took antibiotics, why you were going to come through, but 80 to 90% of the monkeys that took the antibiotics came through, even if they didn't have a vaccination. Well, we've got Roger back on the line. He wants to tell us something about the bills. Our telephone number is 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Roger, go ahead. What do you want to tell us something?
Yeah, I just wanted to throw in one last snippet. Now, this applies, of course, to this bill or any other. The legislative aides, try as they might, and they all have these computerized search engines. They're often not able to find the bills unless they look under narrower search phrases, like shorten it to emergency health powers or health powers or health powers act or health powers law, etc. God bless you all.
All right, fine. Thanks so very much. Okay, fine. And that was Roger calling again from Allentown. And Roger is really very concerned about that. And I wish that every one of you out there in the listening audience was as concerned as Twyla and Roger and I am. I think this is one of the most draconian pieces of legislation. And as they say, if you'd like to go up on the web, you can pull down the original draft of this. Or if you want to get my newsletter, we, of course, have many quotations. Or we actually have the draft. We have to charge for it. It's fairly extensive. I think it'll probably cost about $10 to get it, but we'll send you a free copy of the newsletter if you haven't gotten the newsletter before. We simply quote extensively from the October 23rd, the year 2001, draft of this legislation. But remember, the legislation was written long before September 11th, and why? Why was it written before that? Do you think that they had any inkling we were going to be facing terrorist attacks, Twyla?
I think that it's been the idea of public health emergencies has been in the work for a long time, whether or not it was going to be a bioterrorism. But I think that health officials have wanted to have the authority above and beyond the legislature to deal with the public any time that something defined as a public health emergency could be declared. And so what we understand is that Lawrence Gustin, who wrote the October 23rd version, and then as well the December 21st version, which came out later, obviously, had been asked around 2 years before to start looking at something, and he was promised from the CDC $300,000 per year for up to 3 years. Then when September 11th occurred, what we understand is that he was asked to hasten his work, and within about 2 weeks came out with this model legislation, which was then passed around to each of the states.
Well, that's your tax payers' money, your tax money at work. Somebody had called in and said that when you're going to give blood, and I'd never heard this before, but they, oh, if you're going to give blood, why they ask you if you were in the Gulf or in the Gulf War, and if you were, why they won't take your blood. I'd never heard that before. Have you?
No.
Not. Well, anybody out there in the listening audience, somebody just called in with that statement, and if it's true, this would be a very, very provocative thing, but we'll have to look into that in more detail, maybe call the blood bank and verify that.
I thought that maybe your listeners would like to know which states have actually passed the legislation.
Would you please? Yeah, let us know.
Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, Maine, Maryland, Minnesota, New Hampshire, South Dakota, and Utah.
Well, I would congratulate you, though, and the groups that you've worked with, Twyla, because I think you certainly watered this down tremendously, and I appreciate the hard work you and others have done across America. But, of course, while they focus our attention on the threat of blowing up the Brooklyn Bridge or the Harlem Tunnel or the Statue of Liberty, and day after day after day we're told, oh, there's going to be another terrorist attack, and people get so frightened they can't understand that they are taking our freedom away by legislation. This is stealth legislation. It's being passed very quietly, and only those people like Twyla and others are really on top of what's happening. Well, let's go to Wanda, who's calling from Western Pennsylvania. Hi, Wanda. How are you doing?
Hello. How are you, sir?
Doing just fine. Is this your first time call?
Yes, it is.
Well, it's good to have you with us.
Thank you. It's good to hear you.
Now, are you on listening by shortwave or the Internet?
Yes, I'm listening to shortwave,
okay,
sir. I just found you by accident the other day.
All right, fine. Well, we hope you'll become a regular listener.
Oh, I plan on it. But I'm calling about those shots that they're trying to make us take. Now, I had smallpox shot, and my doctor told me that was good for life. Now, how can they force us to take shots again?
Well, would you like to comment on that, Twyla?
Well, at the moment, we're simply looking at a recommendation from the CDC, and recommendations aren't law until someone like Congress or your state legislature makes them law. So what the CDC will do is put out a recommendation, and their recommendation could be that everyone should be vaccinated, and then your state could decide to pass such a law. I understand what you mean about having been vaccinated and told that information. Whether or not your smallpox vaccine would still be valid for whatever kind of smallpox could be introduced is anybody's guess. That was years ago that you got smallpox, and other vaccines such as, I think it's measles, has been found that whereas they thought it was also for life, it didn't necessarily last that long. But when you ask the question about how can they, all it takes is the passage of legislation and the stroke of the pen from your governor or from the president.
I see. Just like they do a stroke of a pen and our taxes are raised.
Or maybe that's what happened to the Jews over in Germany, just the stroke of the pen.
That's
and they
right.
List them off to the camps. And people say it can't happen here. The same mentality, the same spiritual forces are at work here. They were alive and well during the time of the Holocaust.
I have another question,
okay,
sir.
Okay, go ahead.
What happened to our Patriot movement, the militia? Now, I know some militia men, and I've tried to contact them, and the only one I can contact is a family member in Montana. He belongs to Montana militia.
They infiltrated the militia movement. They got people in there making all sorts of absurd statements. They put agent provocateurs in there saying, boy, let's go over here and look at this building. Maybe we ought to blow it up. And anybody who went with them, they ended up in prison.
I see.
But, of course, they wouldn't do that with the Islamic terrorists because we wouldn't want to be guilty of racial profiling.
Why don't we all go together and march in Washington and drag them out?
Well, we have to educate the people. Wanda, we have to educate the American people. That's our job. And when enough people understand why the enemies of freedom, like vampires at the first rays of dawn, will flee. Okay?
Okay.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Okay. Well, we're just running out of time here. We've just got a couple of minutes more. What message would you like to leave with our listeners today, Twyla?
I think it's important for your listeners to contact their legislators and tell them that the Health Powers Act bill is really having to do with that name rather than bioterrorism. Oftentimes, what was discussed even at our legislature is that this was for bioterrorism. The bill is the Health Powers Act, and that, you know, sometimes they don't label bills correctly, but they actually label this one correctly. It is giving power to health officials in very broad circumstances. So I'd like to encourage your listeners to contact their legislators and say that there shouldn't be any forced healthcare rationing or forced submission to vaccine or examination or medical treatment, and the governor shouldn't have the power to override the legislature, and we shouldn't lose our due process rights or our property rights or our right to a free conscience. And I think that one of the things that works well is to tell them, particularly with quarantine and isolation, is that that allows children to be taken from parents or separated from parents. If one happens to be sick and another one doesn't, that either the parents can be taken from the children and the children can be taken from the parents, but there will be a mandatory separation between the two. So there are things like that are probably things that your legislators can look at and get concerned about, because most of them have no idea and they simply want to accept what the health department says, particularly in an election year when they wouldn't want someone to say that they voted against a bioterrorism bill.
All right. Well, God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us, Twyla. And please keep in touch. Let us know what's happening.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And I certainly have worked very closely with public health authorities, and I will tell you that there are some wonderful people in the public health department. People have come to me and said, Stan, I know that what you're doing is right, but we can't back you publicly because we're afraid for our jobs. And we have got some very wicked people, and I've been to the Centers for Disease Control, and I've talked to some of these wicked people who have another agenda, and as a result of that agenda, 470,000 Americans are dead from AIDS. As of June of last year, 466,000 were infected and dying and will all eventually die. And, of course, another hundreds of thousands. We have no idea how many. They're not trying to stop the AIDS epidemic here or throughout the world. Do you really want those people to be able to force you to take a vaccine when you don't know what's long-term results? We need responsible people. We need to get back to sound fundamentals of medicine. Yes, we need to treat epidemics as epidemics, but we don't need to use that to take the freedom away from every American. So pray for our country, pray for revival, and please remember to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
ask a new question.